text number 38, chapter 19, fourth canto, King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifice. Translation. O protector of the people in general, please consider the purpose of your being incarnated by Lord Vishnu. The irreligious principles created by Indra are but mothers of so many unwanted religions. Please therefore stop these imitations immediately. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma addresses King Prithu as Prajapati, just to remind him of his great responsibility in maintaining the peace and prosperity of the citizens. Maharaj Prithu was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for this purpose only. It is the duty of the ideal king to see that people are properly executing religious principles. Lord Brahma especially requested King Prithu to conquer the pseudo-religious principles produced by King Indra. In other words, it is the duty of the state or king to put a stop to pseudo-religious systems produced by unscrupulous persons. Originally, a religious principle is one given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it comes through the channel of the cyclic succession in two forms. Lord Brahma requested Prithu Maharaj to desist from his unnecessary competition with Indra, who was determined to stop Prithu Maharaj from completing his 100 yagyas. Instead of creating adverse reactions, it is better for Maharaj Prithu to stop the yagyas in the interest of his original purpose as an incarnation. The purpose is to reestablish good government and set things in the right order. Repeat, O protector of the people in general, please consider the purpose of your being incarnated by Lord Vishnu. The irreligious principles created by Indra are but mothers of so many unwanted religions. Are but mothers of so many unwanted religions. Please therefore stop these imitations immediately. Om Ajana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunivranyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam Vande Vanchakalpa Chuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Hare Krishna. Government is always has to be there. In our society we have government. At least there's temple government. And Prabhupada once said that the duty of the temple president is to make all the devotees happy. I don't know if anybody's doing that, but that's what they're telling King Prithu here. Lord Brahma is telling him, your duty is to make everybody happy. That's the duty of the king. Satisfy all the citizens. Not easy sometimes, because sometimes they have opposite things that they want. If I make you happy, then the person who doesn't like you won't be happy. Right? So it can become very complicated. But if we elevate to a higher level of spiritual consciousness, then everybody will be happy, rising above the considerations for material happiness, my own sense gratification, or my own And sense gratification can be gross. Most of us probably conquer over that. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. Right? But other things, puja and pratishtha and all these things that are weeds, wanting to be honored, wanting to have a good position, wanting to be worshipped. Eventually someone, you know, thinks he's the Supreme Lord. That's what happened to the previous king, Vena. He thought, I'm the king, and the king is to be honored like God. So he started thinking, forget God, don't worship Vishnu, just worship me. And he actually banned the worship of the Supreme Lord. So the Brahmanas had to kill him. I was just talking to Nataraj about the Nigerian government. They did something laudable, that they banned these bogus so-called healers from the television in Nigeria. You know, in the name of, you know, get up and walk and all. But they've all come to Ghana now. And they're on television in Ghana making their miracle healing. That's the duty of the government, is to recognize that something is bona fide or not, and then to stop the imitations. But in Kali Yuga, like in America, they started it with this freedom of religion, because in Europe, the one church became very powerful and intolerant of everyone else. So people went to America so they could practice their whatever way they were practicing, different Protestants. So they made the law the freedom of religion. But now that's completely taken advantage of. So anyone can say, well, this is my religion. And then they can get away with anything, because the government doesn't know what is real religion. So if I just say this is my religion, and my religion means that I can do this and that. And in one prison, the prisoner started his own religion, and in that religion he had to drink wine. He made the rule, so the prison allowed him to bring in wine to drink. It was a religion. Freedom of religion. And the same law that covers freedom of religion covers freedom of speech, which includes freedom to be pornography, freedom to say anything you want about anybody, freedom of abortion, everything freedom. It's all under one banner. So we can't fight against the other freedom, because that will stop our freedom also, freedom of religion. So in one sense, we're fortunate to be in these demo-crazy countries. Because there's freedom anyway, we can preach, but we have to be very careful to preach a bona fide, practice bona fide, according to scripture, guru, shastra, and sadhu, following the guidelines, so that we can actually help people to get out from the maya. Everyone is suffering, and most of them, they don't know why. Even some people know that, you know, they should be more religious, or they should be true to irreligion, but they don't know how to practice. So Lord Chaitanya very kindly introduced for everybody the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You do know that mantra, right? I didn't hear it in the kirtan, I heard a lot of it. Lord Chaitanya introduced the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That is our kirtan. That's what Prabhupada always chanted. Never chanted Radhe, 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 Radhe. None of that. Prabhupada never. He didn't like it. If that someone started chanting different mantras, he would send his servant down to stop the kirtan. And sometimes it was very hard for the servant, because they were a junior and a sannyasi or something, to run the kirtan. that they have to say that Prabhupada said to stop this. Maha mantra. Maha means great. So we don't need any other mantras, because that's the best one, and that includes everything. Hare is Radha, Rama, Krishna, Krishna. That's the topmost way to chant the names of the Lord. We should focus on that, and that will elevate all of us to the highest platform, and anyone who contacts devotees and hears that also. So we have to be careful. So everyone is some kind of a leader. Krishna was the king of the world. Someone may be the king of a small kingdom. Someone may be the king of the house. Right? Every man is the king of the house, right? King of the road. Queen of the house. You know, that's why we like to get a family, so we can be the king, at least of a few people. Or the dog. Because we might not be the king when we go out to work, or when we go to whatever else we're doing. But at home we can be the king. But everyone has some kind of authority. Everyone is the leader of somebody. So every devotee has the duty to, you know, try to behave properly in every way, and developing the good qualities of a human being, especially of a brahmana. Shama dhamma tapatso cham. Chantir Arjava Mevacha, right? Is that right? What does that mean? Bhagavad Gita? Anybody read the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
You know that verse? So what does it mean? Tapa, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, honesty, religion. These are the qualities of the brahmana. So those are what we need to develop. And those are admirable qualities anywhere. We'll have a seminar tomorrow, but the power of a brahmana comes from forgiveness. In Kali Yuga, we don't have very many powerful brahmanas. Kshatriya's power comes from his arms. He's fighting weapons. The vices from his money. So now in Kali Yuga, the vices are almost the most influential. Right? Because in order to get elected, you have to have a lot of money. So you have to get the backing of all the vices. Pay for your advertisements in America anyway, on television, everything, the campaign. You need a lot of money. And the sudra's power is in service, but we don't find that very much. The sudras are getting a lot of money now, right? Movie stars and singers and, you know, even just engineers and stuff. They're all sudras, but they're getting a lot of money. So they're not exactly vaishyas, but they have a lot of influence because of their money. But a brahmana is what's required in society, and that's what the Vaishnava is. Rishastra, the best of the brahmanas, supposed to be the best of the brahmanas. So the Vaishnava is supposed to have all those qualities also, and many more. But Prahlad Maharaj said that even if one has all 12 brahminical qualities, if he's not a devotee, then he can't help anybody. He'll just be self-satisfied, maybe complacent, doing his puja and, you know, behaving properly. But if he's not a Vaishnava, then it's not so valuable. First is to be a Vaishnava. But sometimes devotees think, well, I'm a devotee, so I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to be honest, and I don't have to be polite, and I don't have to be forgiving, because I'm a devotee. I'm above all that. Right? Isn't it? I'm beyond all these modes of nature. But a devotee will automatically be a gentleman, be perfectly behaved in every way. in the Bible, what does it say? Vengeance is mine. Right? In Kali Yuga, there's so much cry for justice. But most people's understanding of justice is not correct. They think justice means that I get my vengeance. The person that I don't like suffers. Then I'll be happy. Right? That's not justice. Justice really means that the two parties have some difficulty, but they work it out amongst themselves. They make some settlement, some agreement, so they both are happy. Not that we punish the one we don't like. It's very easy in Kali Yuga because of the domination of the mode of ignorance. In the mode of ignorance, and fault finding is a very prominent feature of those in the mode of ignorance. But in Kali Yuga, fault finding is considered very intellectual. What is a newspaper full of? Right? Fault finding. What's wrong with this politician? What's wrong with this movie? What's wrong with this government? What's wrong with that person? Fault finding. And they make it sound very wonderful. They're expert with words and talking. So it's easy to do. It doesn't take much intelligence. It doesn't take... It's somewhat tamasic. So devotees are averse to that. They want to find fault with the mature energy. They want to find fault with pursuing sense gratification. They want to find fault with fault finding. They want to find good in the devotees. Every devotee has many good qualities. Everybody is a combination of good and bad. So the devotee looks for the good in everyone, and he tries to cultivate that. Try to encourage the good to come out more and more. And that way, automatically, if we develop more and more good activities, good habits, the bad habits are finished. If we just keep pointing out, like, to a child, you're stupid, you're bad, you shouldn't do this, they'll just do it more and more, right? Any mother know that? Right? If you're always telling the child, maybe the child wants attention. The main thing that the living entity wants is attention. It wants people to notice him. So if we only notice him when he does something bad, he'll do the bad things more and more. Because he doesn't have the concept of good or wrong or right or whatever. He just knows that when I do this, my mother notices me. Or the temple president notices me. Or the other devotees notice me. If I do something good, nobody pays any attention to it. Or they say, well, he did good, but he did it for the wrong reason. Right? Mother Teresa made that prayer like that. You'll do good. And many people will say yes, but he did it for the wrong reason. So it's not really good. But she said, do it anyway. Do good anyway. Don't worry what people think. Do the right thing. Don't look for praise from the dogs, hogs, asses, and camels. You know, who will glorify you when you do something sense gratification. Look to Krishna. So we want to have a very big society. We want to spread Krishna consciousness. It is the best thing. Everyone who first contacts the temple and devotees immediately feels like, wow, this is the greatest place. You know, this is wonderful. We read the book. But sometimes after a while we start to wonder because we see this happen, that happen. Of course, the mature world is such a place, we can't understand Krishna, how he's doing things. The devotee just has to understand that Krishna is doing it for our own good. And he's testing us, how will I react? So, in the mature world there's so much politics. In the government, in the business. I was talking to my cousin and my sister, and they had previously worked in some big company, some kind of executive job. And they were just talking about how much office politics and backbiting and slashing is going on. My sister's friend who also, they were like personnel manager or something, you know, reasonably good job. The girl said she would rather go and clean hotel rooms than to go back to that atmosphere where everybody's trying to cut her out and get the job and put them down in case they work nicely, you know, make rumors about them. It even happened to Prabhupada when he was working. One of the men wanted his son to get the job that Prabhupada had. So he started telling the boss how Prabhupada was doing all kinds of wrong things. But Prabhupada, as he lost everything, he took it as Krishna's mercy. He remembered that sloka where Yudhisthira, when he was exiled, and Krishna came to visit him after a few days, a couple of weeks. Because when it happened, the dice match happened, Krishna was busy in Dwarka fighting with Shalva. It took 1 month. He had a big fight. So he wasn't there for the dice game and everything. Krishna said, Yudhisthira, if I had been there, I would have stopped it. I would have preached about gambling and how bad it is, and I wouldn't have let it happen. But now it's too late. Already the dam is broken. What can be done? Can't patch it up. Dam break. So Yudhisthira said, why has this happened to me? I never did anything sinful in my life. Never did anything wrong. Never even criticized anyone. Never did everything perfectly according to Dharma. He examined his life and he knew that. And Krishna smiled and he said, when I especially favor someone, I take away everything. So Yudhisthira accepted that. He didn't argue. He said, wait a minute, you know, I don't want this kind of favor. I want, you know. But he took it. Actually, Krishna told him, now you can go fight, get your kingdom back. You said 14 years, but sometimes you can say 14 days. It's the same as 14 years. But Yudhisthira said, no, I said 14 years. I can't change. I have to be honest. So he took it. Prabhupada would always remember that verse as his business was getting taken away and as his business customers weren't paying him. All kinds of things happened. He just took it as, he said, Krishna dismantled everything. And he laughed. And then finally he, you know, gave everything for preaching and became very quickly very rich with nothing to start with, no money when he went to America, just some books. Within a few years he had, you know, so many temples all over the world and so many books and so many devotees, you know, completely sold out. He was originally thinking, I'll do some business because I see my sannyasi godbrothers, they're always having to go begging. So I'll make a lot of money and then I'll use that money for preaching. That'll be better. Prabhupada says he was thinking like that. We can understand it differently, that he was teaching us something. It's all different. It wasn't exactly that he really was puffed up, like he said, proud. But he showed us that that wasn't what Krishna wanted. It's actually mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta that we may with all good intentions think, well, I'll do some business and I'll make money for preaching. But then the business itself and the money is so contaminating that one can become entangled in it and forget. Now, if you're already making a lot of money and you're already a big businessman, then you should just start giving it to Krishna. Right? We can preach to people like that. We preach. Our business is to preach and elevate people and help them to have a nice temple that the hardworking materialists can come to and get purified. I was just telling about this Tirupati temple in India, Balaji Venkateshwar. He's very famous that people pray to him and they get lots of money, their business gets really big. they get elected in the office. Politicians, before the election, they go and give huge donations to their people. People give so much donations every day. So much. Women go and give all their jewelry, and people cut off their hair, and you know, it's really far off. So many, many men, when they make their business, they make the deity a partner in the business. 10% or 20% goes to the temple automatically from the business, from the profit, the stock. So one devotee met a man who had done that, and his business became very successful. And then he thought, I've given enough now, I don't have to give any more. Because he's given so much. And then the business collapsed after some time. So he thought, oh, and then he started giving again. And it built up again. Then he stopped again. And it fell down again. And finally he said, okay, and we keep giving. And he said, many people have that same story. You know, and many of us also, we join, we get serious, and then we think, okay, I've done enough now. I don't have to really work so hard anymore. Krishna should take care of me. You know, I surrendered, I've given everything. I distributed books for a year or two. I collected some money. And then we find we become very unhappy and miserable and angry at other devotees, envious. Because we forget that we have to be always giving everything to Krishna. Or at least thinking that I should be giving everything to Krishna. I'm not able to do it at the moment, but I know I should be, and I have to keep trying to surrender everything. That means whatever I have, I'm using it always in the service of Krishna. Body, mind, so we don't have much as far as assets go, right? How many of you have big, big businesses or big bank accounts? Anybody? But we have body, we have mind, we have words, and we have some talent, some ability, some strength, and we have intelligence. Everybody has something. And Krishna is not fussy what you give him. He just wants whatever we have. If we're very, very poor, we give that. He's happy. Same as if a very rich man gives. If a poor person gives everything, it's much better than, even though it's very small, it's much better than a rich person giving a huge amount. But Krishna sees what we keep. He's not impressed by what we give him, he's impressed by what we don't give him. What we're hiding away and keeping in case of. In case, maybe, you know, Krishna's not really God, and maybe he's not really going to protect me, right? You know, I got to take care of myself. So Krishna sees that, and then we'll be unhappy. We'll be frustrated, full of anxiety. Our preaching won't have any effect on anyone. But if we give everything we have, or we're trying to give everything, if we're trying to give everything, Krishna accepts that we are giving it, and he'll help us. Then, if we're in a position of government, which many of you are, temple president, or mothers, or fathers, or school teachers, we should study about this life of King Prithu, and what the four Kumaras are teaching, and what Lord Brahma is teaching him here. And don't be competitive. You know, Indra is attached, you see. Indra wants to be the big guy, so let him do your work. You know, don't try to put Indra down. Don't put Indra in anxiety. Do your duty as a king. Let Indra have his, you know, prestige, right? Let him be the guy who did the most sacrifice. That kind of competition is being condemned. The competition where we're trying to defeat someone, put them down, win. Competition where we go out and distribute books, and you distribute so many books, and then I think, well, maybe I can do that also. We ask you, how did you do that? What are you saying to people? How do you pray? I've had devotees. Sometimes when I used to be young and a better devotee, and I would distribute many books, and somebody would come and say, how do you pray? What are you thinking? What do you do? What do you eat? They want to know everything because they want to do it. They didn't come and try to break my leg or say that I was cheating everybody or lying or, you know, something like that. So this is what we want. We want to inspire others and we want to get inspired. If someone is doing more service, apparently getting more mercy of Krishna. Once our Vishnujan Swami asked Prabhupada, why are you giving me so much mercy? Everybody could see that he was so enlivened, he was, you know, inspiring everybody. Even when they went on Harinam, he would chant all day because nobody wanted to hear anyone else. They only wanted to hear him. He would offer someone else, the devotees would say, no, no. And he was always in ecstasy and attracting big crowds. Prabhupada said, I'm giving everybody the same mercy, but you're taking it. Not that, you know, that Krishna is choosing somebody to give them more mercy than another person. It's there for everyone. We have the holy name, we've got service. Anybody can go out and preach. Anybody can do any service they want. There's no more mercy to be had, but we have to take it. And then there's more and more. The more we take, the more there is. If we reject the mercy and say, I don't want that, I want this, I want that, give me this, give me that, Krishna just goes away. If there's criticism of a devotee, Krishna goes away. He leaves. He doesn't like to hear it. If any of you have children, or you remember your family, most of us don't have so many children, we might come from a family of many children, right? The mother, the father, they don't like it when the children quarrel, right? They don't want to favor one child over another. They don't like it. So Krishna is like that. If the devotees are quarreling, he doesn't like it. He wants to see us loving. And then when Krishna's there, we'll attract more and more people. Spiritual world is based on love. The material world is based on envy. Envy is a very bad thing and makes people sick. Anger makes people sick also. Nowadays there's so much kidney disease, liver disease. These are all products of anger. Headaches, migraine headaches, so many people have. Right? They're holding in so much anger. And they're frustrated. They're angry at everybody. Angry at their mother. They're angry at their society. They're angry at their wife. They're angry at their boss. They're angry at everybody. And it burns them up. Because of lust. I want what you have. And I can't get it. So Bhagavatam is there. If we keep reading it, we become absorbed, we practice what it says, then we'll become purified, and the natural good qualities of the soul manifest. The soul is full of all good qualities and unlimited strength and energy and potencies, but we cover it over with our own stupidity, so we have to let it out. We have to cultivate that, you know, and chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Stick to that Maha Mantra and all the kirtans. We have a committee making rules for kirtan, and one of them is going to be no Radhe, 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 Radhe. Because Prabhupada did not like it. Nobody ever heard of it until they went to India. And if you go around India, you hear it all the time from the movies and all kinds of people. But the Maha Mantra is what Lord Chaitanya chanted. It's what our acharyas chanted. We should chant that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And, you know, pray if we can get more and more people chanting the Holy Name. Because the world is in such condition, Kali Yuga is making so much advancement everywhere, and there's more and more crises, more and more disease, more and more, you know, worse diseases, more economic crisis, more bad weather, more, you know, drought, more flood, more everything. You probably don't follow the news of America very much, but every year they have much more forest fires, burning down more houses, and they have more tornadoes. I saw one tornado, it picked up a school bus, a big school bus, and put it up on the roof of the school. You know, train of art that picked up the school bus. Fortunately, the children were not in the bus, but it picked it right up and put it on the roof and almost fell right down on top of everybody. So strong. Hurricane, flooding everything, rivers flooding, tsunamis, you know, drought, everything, disease, AIDS, malaria, right? This gets worse and worse all the time. That's Kali Yuga. And all the quarreling and the wars and the, you know, religious fighting, name of religion and all the bogus religions, you know. And if you have something good, there'll be so many copies, imitation of the real thing. And sometimes they make the copy look better than the real thing, right? In Japan, in the airport, they have this showcase, don't buy copies. And they show one side the real one and the other side, but they look exactly the same. You know, the Chinese, they make the same factory, they make the copy of the handbag, the lady's handbag is supposed to be $1,000, they're selling it for $50. Nobody can tell unless they're taken apart, you know. What to speak of the bogus religions. Unless we're studying scripture, unless we know the philosophy, unless we're living pure life, we can't detect, you know, what's real or not. If we are following Krishna, will always guide us. And people will want to take shelter because they're very frustrated being cheated all the time. You know, getting the copy when it's supposed to be real. Now they copy medicine, they copy so many things, sometimes people die. It's not really, it's just the same box and everything looks the same. It's not the same medicine. Cheating. So, cheating religion is most prominent. Started by Indra in this case. He disguised himself as a sannyasi. And that introduced cheating, bogus religion. So, Brahma's telling Prithu, don't promote this anymore. Don't try to defeat Indra because he'll just make more bogus religion. Trying to defeat you. So King Prithu surrenders to Lord Brahma and, you know, lives properly. So any questions? Any questions? Jai Radha Govinda.
Yes.
Radha Govinda. And chant the name of the deity a few times is one night. The end of the kirtan. But just Radhe, 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 Radhe for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it's not in our line. Prabhupada said when he was asked, he said, you can't say that chanting name of Radha is Maya. He wants Radha on his name. But he said, our acharyas didn't do it. So we should follow our acharyas. That's how we're going to make advancement. We want to be in the Sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod and Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Das Thakur, that's all he chanted. He was experiencing every rasa, every intimate rasa with of Krishna just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra all the time. And everybody went to Vrindavan. Alright? Any questions? Yes, sir.
John, you. I thought you did mention about becoming discerning and teaching, but I would like to know more about faith.
About what?
Faith. You got faith.
Shut up.
Shut up. Lord, talk about the time of this time that he experienced and how that's not enough.
Well, that should be a whole seminar. But if you come in my room sometime, you can check on the computer. If you look up faith, I've done it a few times. Because I have a granddaughter named Faith, so I looked it up. But there's so many things. It says with faith, chanting with faith, serving with faith. One who is not faithful, Ashwadana Purusha Dharma Sasya Paranta Paptamam Navartante Mitchu Samsara Vartan. One who is not faithful on this path will not attain it. So faith is the most important thing. If we're chanting without faith, just that it's going to help us, and how long can we keep chanting? What effect can it have? It'll have some effect. But probably we won't keep doing it. Everyone has faith in something. You know, the materialists will criticize, well, you have faith. They have faith also. They have faith in whatever they're following. In the scientists, they have faith in the cigarette, you know. They have faith in whatever they believe in. We have faith in Krishna. But faith is, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says it's, well, he says it's produced by association with devotees. And in chapter 15? Verse 5 or 6? I think it's chapter 15. Anyway, that's where Prabhupada describes, you know, what is faith. The surrendering process. Faith is produced by association with devotees that have faith. You have to look for faith. Means you really believe that by this process, I'm going to get Krishna. It's going to work. Even though I may not perceive anything working at the moment. And so when you practice with faith, so many times it's there in the sloka. With faith. With faith. It's a condition. Otherwise it won't work. You understand? The Bible, what did Jesus say about faith?
Huh?
Faith without, yeah, well, faith, that means this is faith, oh yeah, I believe. If you have really faith, it'll work. But faith can move mountains. Of course, the karmis actually literally move mountains now. By machines. In Osaka, Japan, and the new airport is an island that they built. They tore down a mountain and moved it out in the ocean and made an island to make an airport. They have faith in their machines and their technology and their engineering. So they did that. But in this case, it means that mountain of ignorance and lust that's covering our heart, that with faith in the Lord, it can be moved and it can be removed and we can become realized of who we actually are. So faith is very important. When people have faith and they practice something with faith, then they try harder and harder. They know that they're going to get something for it. We want to have faith in Krishna. Everyone has faith in something. We want to have faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, faith in the scripture. Faith that this chanting the holy name is all in all. You don't need anything else in order to get Krishna prema. Just have to perfect the chant. Chant with faith and with the service attitude. Chanting, begging Krishna for service. That is a proper chant. Is that alright? Shraddha. Srivasa knows probably many slokas with Shraddha, but so many times. That means you don't give up, you know. Expect the mercy of the Lord. So there's no other shelter except for that symptoms of surrender. The devotee always expects the mercy of the Lord. He doesn't complain, you know, like, oh, why I'm not getting any mercy. Why is someone else getting more mercy? He just tries, keeps trying. Okay. Any other questions? Once you get rolling. Everyone tired from traveling from, right? It's a long way, so. At least it's, you didn't have, it wasn't like the last time I drove from Nigeria to Togo, it took 20 hours or something, because of the rain. This time it goes smoother. Any other questions? Yes, sir. How was he what? What about it? I can't hear you, you know, this fan. I can't hear. You know, there's some big noise and I have hard of hearing. You have to speak carefully and slowly and loudly.
I'm talking about the effects of race.
Yeah. This verse. What is the question?
The question is, was Krishna able to form his mentara? So according to religious self, religious.
Yeah, he well. I think there's much more King Prithu's. You know, he let Indra be the king. He wasn't trying to become the king of heaven. He was just doing the yajna for the benefit of the population. But Indra took it as a challenge. So then Brahma told him, forget it and just concentrate on your kingdom. So he made a perfect kingdom. You know, at the time they started, the earth was not providing grains. She wasn't letting things grow because she was mad at the sinful people. But he got her to release the grains, and he organized so many things and established boundaries and all kinds of things so that people could live peacefully. And he did yajna after yajna. Very big part of the Bhagavatam. This is one book, but there's another one. Many chapters. All right? And he and Indra became friends. Indra is a good guy, but he just gets a little envious once in a while. Gets carried away. Kshatriya, passionate. But then they became friends. Indra's not, he wasn't trying to make a disturbance, he was just trying to protect his own position, which is a material attachment. A dangerous attachment to have, actually. Because Krishna gives a position, only Krishna can take it away. So if I'm fighting a person that I think is challenging my position, Krishna might take it away. Because there's room for unlimited kings and leaders and preachers and sannyasis. If we're going to, you know, preach to even the Media village, we need a lot of preachers, a lot of people. How many can one person preach? They have some big churches in America now, they call mega church. And somehow some of these preachers, they get like 25,000 people come on Sunday. But then their church is also organized with many, many small groups where they can train everybody up. But they like to come and hear the one guy give his far out talks. Some of them are pretty good. They're promoting at least, you know, some levels of good behavior and faith in God. And people get inspired by that. Although usually the faith is meant to direct you towards having God give you all kinds of material prosperity. And that especially attracts people. I heard one guy and he was praying. He said, okay, I'll pray for everybody. And you'll never get sick. And you'll never, I pray God that these people will never have a problem. Nobody will ever be their enemy. They'll never get sick. They'll always make money. And people are, oh, yeah, yeah. And then we're telling people, you know, sickness is part of life and, you know, suffering is there. And, but that's the truth. And then they can actually really be happy. Because if our happiness is based on how much we have materially, there's always somebody with more. There's always a fear of losing it. But the connection to Krishna, service to Krishna, no one can take that away. Only we can throw it away, but no other person can stop anyone from serving Krishna. It's impossible. Sometimes we see, oh, he wouldn't let me do this service. No, you can do something. And nobody can stop someone from serving Krishna. If we join the temple or the society, we may be told to serve in a particular way, and I may think I should serve in a different way. But it's not like they won't let you serve Krishna. They do what Krishna wants. All right? Yes, sir. Got to speak.
I mean, you put over a thing, leader.
Yeah. Mr. What?
Insulted.
Happy. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you two questions. One is, What really involves the mission and the mission? And two, at times we try in our best to nurture people up and out of the ignorance of, I would say, sentiment for refusing to accept certain situations. This year, actually, we are taught. And with this, we make the difficult clip. This sort of thing.
Yeah.
How do we manage this year? How do we deal with this sort of thing? When human is not psychological.
Anybody hear what he's saying? Prabhupada said that. I'm trying to find that letter, but he told one temple president, the duty of temple president is to make all the devotees happy. So that's not an easy thing to do. But, and generally, devotees, if they're really devotees, they'll be happy. But they need to have, you know, basic material necessities provided. You know, decent, you know, basic things, some soap, some toothpaste, some, you know, a simple brahmacharya or something. Doesn't need so much, but he needs a few things. Mainly, devotees need to be encouraged and appreciated, you know, for and helped to practice devotional service and feel loved and cared for. That goes a long way. Bhakti Tirthamaraj, basically everyone that met him became very happy because they really felt that he really cared about them. Just if you ever met him, Prabhupada the same way. They felt, this person really cares about me. He's not asking me for anything. He cares about me. Even you don't have to give them money, you don't have to, you know, promote them to be in some big position, or if they feel like we really care for them. When we're preaching, same thing. If people really feel like this person is trying to care about me, wants to help me, wants to give me something, wants thinking of my own welfare, the people become happy, they become alive. If you put the fish in the water, the fish will be happy. Right? If you take the fish out of the water and you put a crown on him and you give him, you know, a big fish feast, and you know, but he's not going to be happy. He's going to be jumping and flopping and suffering. You throw him in the water, that's all he needs. He'll be happy. So if we can somehow provide an atmosphere of a spiritually enlivened atmosphere where everybody's trying to serve Krishna and everybody's be giving an opportunity to serve Krishna, everyone is appreciated. Not judging people according to their previous life or how old they are, you know, who's better and who's not better. And then, you know, basically, of course, there might be some people that just don't want spiritual life. They won't be happy. They'll go away then. If they want sense gratification, you know, if they just want sex, drugs, and rock and roll or something, they're not going to be happy around the temple. And you certainly don't think that, well, I have to give them that because that's what they want. You know, we'd go somewhere else for them. Right? People have to see that we're practicing what we preach, or what Bhakti Krishnamurti said, you walk your talk. Right? You walk your talk. You do what you say. You don't talk very nicely and do completely different. You know, they don't. Some preachers will say, do what I say, not what I do. Surrender to me. Shut up. I'm the boss. It doesn't work. But if we're loving and we're trying to help people and we really care and we're trying to teach the real philosophy, you know, those who are really devotees will be happy. And they'll all start to help each other more and more. Everyone will develop a mood of trying to help each other. And the atmosphere becomes very, very nice, and more people will join, and we'll get more and more facilities of all kinds. We have some temples, examples in the world, especially in Bombay and the Chopadi Temple, how it's developed like that. Because they started out with the focus on sadhana and Vaishnava seva. It's always been the stress as the most important activities. And so devotees come and they become very happy and enlivened, and they all want to serve each other, and everything just develops until now they have, you know, so many thousands of them all making arrangements to help each other. And that can be done anywhere. It's just a matter of consciousness. If we're caring. I'm not really here, but Bhakti Krishnamurti always tried to encourage everybody. So one time I was telling him, I was lamenting that I don't have much skills in management or anything like that. He said, that's not needed. What we need is people who care. That's what our movement needs. We don't need any big managers or big shots, big anything. We need people who care. Care about others, who like to help others. That means not only, you know, that we say, chant Hare Krishna, it's your karma that you're suffering. That's not caring. Sometimes devotees say like that. It's true, but it's not the way to deal with a suffering person. We have to help them if they're hungry, if they're distressed, if they're sick. We have to do that also, take care of that aspect also, so that they can chant and be devotees. That's part of life. I can show you things different devotees have worked out about it. You know, make everybody happy. Nice prasada. Yeah. But mainly it's a loving atmosphere. When people feel love, they can tolerate all kinds of tapasya. The early days of ISKCON, like in Bombay, I was just there. So now Bombay is such a huge, luxurious place with millions of people coming, money everywhere, you know, huge temples, and we get our own room with a, you know, showers and room service and restaurant, get whatever you want. But the early devotees that were there, it was this jungle full of rats and mosquitoes, and they were getting malaria and jaundice, and they didn't have any money ever. They didn't know what they were going to eat from day to day. But they were in ecstasy because Prabhupada was there and they were chanting, and they didn't care. And those were all, you know, American kids that came from very, mostly quite well-off families. Girirat Swami, his father came, and he said, his father and his mother and his sister came, the Jewish family, so they're very family. And they said, we want you, the father said, I put $1 million in the bank just for you, in a trust fund. And please come home, and you don't have to work, you don't have to do anything. You have $1 million. You can live the rest of your life. And Prabhupada said, what do you want to do, Giri? He said, I want to stay here. He's living in a, no door even on the bathroom, nothing, you know. And being his life threatened by the demons and disease all the time. And his father was stunned, you know. He couldn't believe it. And then the mother and the father, the sister, everybody was crying and crying and crying, you know, like we lost our son. And so Prabhupada said, I have an idea. He said, why don't you go on a holiday with your family? You can go to Nepal for a week or something and have a vacation. So they did that. And they came back, and somehow his family became peaceful. And he stayed, but he didn't get the $1 million. You know, he didn't give him the $1 million to stay with Prabhupada. He had to come home and give up staying with Prabhupada. And he asked Prabhupada, because his father was very intelligent, he was a judge. He said, what are you giving him? You know, what are you giving him that he doesn't want $1 million? For no reason. Prabhupada said, I'm just nothing. All I have is Krishna. You know, look around. What has he got? Nothing. Right? And many devotees. Amarendra, his father, said, you come home. Also, he said, I'll give you as much marijuana as you want. Just leave the temple and come home. Another, I know a devotee in Israel, his father said the same thing. You just give it up and come home and be Jewish, and I'll give you all the marijuana you want. You never have to work. But they didn't. You know, what they wanted so much before, they didn't take it because of Krishna. They're happy. They're happy because of Prabhupada love. And if we try to give that as much as we can, a little bit we can, then devotees will be happy. Those who don't want Krishna and who want sense gratification, they won't stay. The devotees who stay, they'll be happy. But we have to care about them. So just the temple president in Tirupati, he's a householder. He has 80 brahmacharis. 80. 80. And they distribute books almost more than any other temple, one of the biggest in India. And half of them go out at 6 o'clock in the morning, come back at 12. And the other half go out at 12 and come back at 6. And many stay at the temple because so many people come to that temple and buy books. But he takes, I think every day he sits with one devotee for 1 hour just to talk to them about, you know, how they feel and what they need and any problems they have. And he takes care of them. So they keep getting more devotees, more money and more books. Huge temple they build. He has billboards all over the city advertising Bhagavad Gita, big signboards like you have here for beer and stuff. The Bhagavad Gita for Hare Krishna. But the devotees feel loved and cared for. They're enlivened. go out and work every day. Got it, no.
Sometimes in the course of leadership, trying to do right,
I'll have to find some books. I have to go to the big bookstore. But, there's conflict resolution, which is, I talked about it one time here a little bit. It's a science. In order to do that, one person has to be completely neutral. The leader has to be neutral. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Garga Muni Prabhu told me back in the early days, they had Jayananda Prabhu. So he said, whenever there was a conflict, they would put Jayananda and he would just smile and they would quit fighting after a short time. Because he loved everybody. He didn't favor one or the other. He saw Krishna in everyone's heart. And it was so powerful that everybody would just forget their quarrel. But conflict prevention is better. There's a science now, they teach it in the university, even called non-violent communication. There's another woman she has there, she calls it Kung Fu. You know, like Kung Fu? Kung Fu. You know, how to avoid conflict. There's certain words you should never say. One of them is but. Now just think how many times you say but in one day. Everybody, right? But it really turns people off. I like you, but, you know, we love you, but, we want to help you, but, you know. The nonviolent communication, you know, the word but means your backside. They say, don't put your butt in my face. So, it works. People learn how to communicate. You don't ever say problem. The problem is. We can't do that. The problem is. How many times do we hear that every day? If I had one naira for every time any devotee in Nigeria said problem, we could solve all the problems. We'd have so much money. But the problem. It's our mantra. You know, except in the japa time. And even then, half of us are busy talking about problems instead of with the bead bag in the hand. So there is a science and we have to practice it to be very careful. And conflict resolution is important. We have an ISKCON now called ISKCON Resolve. You know, there's a thing called mediation when there's a real conflict. And it works. The idea is to bring the conflicting parties together to communicate with each other, you know, why they're upset and how they can make a settlement. But that requires one very neutral person in the middle. Because sometimes it gets pretty heavy in the midst of the discussion. But it usually works out if the two people are willing to come together and talk about it. But it's Kali Yuga, so you know, Kali means plural, it means conflict. So we have to keep aloof from the Kali Yuga. If everybody is there, you know, in the middle of Harinam, you don't see devotees ever fighting, right? Or after a long Harinam for a few hours, everybody's peaceful. But then after they start to get looking around more and more and forgetting the holy name, again we start to quarrel, right? So ultimately we want to have a lot of kirtan, Harinam every day and get the devotees out and keep everybody engaged in appreciating doing something for Krishna, bringing other people to Krishna. Right? We don't want to see devotees fighting like little children, you know, over prasadam or something. Right? During the Rakhi after, nobody's fighting, everybody's chanting. So keep chanting and always chanting. That's the most important thing. But leaders have to, you know, meet with devotees and understand, like, how things are going, if they have some problem. Congregation people, they need help how to balance spiritual practices with their material life. You know, it's not so easy sometimes. But many people are doing it. So the ones who are doing it, they should be helping those who are new. And providing comfort, providing care, love and care. Alright? How are you doing? You have more? I'm sorry, but
about the loving one, they are so divisive. Now the matter of instruction, we tend to get affected.
I can show you one chart when Madhavi went to one temple in India. Small temple in India, 30 brahmacharis. And she just started working on that. She got one devotee to become the care officer or something. You know, like other devotees could come and tell them what they need, and they started to make sure everybody had, you know, soap and toothbrush and toothpaste and, you know, proper clothes, and gradually developed many, many departments of taking care. And the devotees got more and more enlivened and, you know, preaching much more. So we need to do things like that. You know, it's like a temple president sometimes, he's too busy, he can't, maybe, you know, because he has to do everything else. But it also works the other way, that if all the devotees feel really cared for and loved, then it takes a lot of load off the temple president also, because they're more enthusiastic to do things. Mostly devotees are not looking for material rewards or, you know, excessive comforts or anything, but they want to be appreciated. They want to feel like they're part, you know, that they're part of the group, and that their service has some value. But, you know, that has to spread, because sometimes someone in between. I heard this in India one time. I heard it when I first came to Africa. Someone asked, "Is it true that if you're not initiated, your service has no value?" Where did they hear that? Right? It's somebody that's initiated told them that. "I'm better than you, and you better know that. Right? And I'm a Brahmin, and I was initiated the day before you, so you better bow down. Right? Your service is useless because you're not initiated." Then how will you ever get initiated? Why would you get initiated if your service was useless while you were not initiated? So we need to preach and, you know, let everybody know what the real thing is. And more than just listening to a class, but personally talking to people. Senior devotees have to, you know, be helping new devotees. But sometimes the so-called senior devotees are trying to put down the to establish themselves, which is not Krishna conscious. But then they get the idea that, why do I want to become a devotee if this person's acting like this, but he's been a devotee for a long time? I don't want to be like that. Right? So go away. Go to the church. I would take one more night. But then they don't have Krishna either. They don't have the absolute truth. So we need to have both. Not just the highest philosophy. In America, a survey was done of different religions. And they concluded that the Hare Krishna had the best philosophy by far. But the way they treat each other is the worst of all the religions. The way the devotees interact with each other. Which is completely contradictory to our philosophy. But somehow or other it happens. I was just hearing a walk with Prabhupada. I've heard many times of somebody wrote a book and then about the movement, and then another professor said that because the Hare Krishnas deny the pleasures of the flesh, sometimes they're insensitive, you know, they're a little bit afraid to be loving with each other because they're afraid of fall down or something, you know, they think you got to be aloof. And there's some truth to that. It's not the philosophy, but it does happen. We have the most personal philosophy, but sometimes we act very impersonal. And devotees always like everyone liked Bhakti Tirthaswami, as far as I ever met. He was always loving. Everyone felt like he loves me. Jayapataka Swami also. You know, he was always very open and warm and greeting everybody and happy to meet everybody and offering himself. So everybody enlivened. And we need to do that also. Everybody. Treat everybody like you treat your own children when they're very small. Right? Treat all devotees like that. You know, as your family members that are very important, dear to Krishna. So we want to, you know, but we have, in order to do that, we have to have some realization and some happiness of ourselves. But that will only really come from kirtan. So the leaders have to make sure to organize a lot of kirtan and harinam where we get out, because getting out and chanting in the public is what really fixes us up to understand the special privilege we have of being with devotees. To see the difference. If we're just locked up in the room, just like a family, a husband and wife get married, and if they just stay in one room and all they see is each other, it won't be very long before you have an atomic war. They call that the nuclear family, nuclear bomb. You know, just the wife and the husband and the child, no family, no friends, nobody else around. Pretty soon they're killing each other. Right? We need to get out. So the same thing, if the devotees are always just with each other, we start to grumble and quarrel and think, well, the temple president asked me to clean the pots, and I think, well, what about him? You know, what's he doing? He should do it. I did it yesterday. I did more. Right? These things happen. But if everybody's in ecstasy from kirtan, that doesn't happen. It won't happen by force. You know, by rules and regulations, it won't happen. It happens by kirtan and by hearing the philosophy, reading the books. Alright? Time for prasad? Right? They have prasad today? I have a lot of Kirti Bhasa has been organizing a lot. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.